Dear sisters, what an incredible journey it has been to study Daniel together. I'm so excited to wrap up chapter 12 with you, and I'm hoping that we not only connect this text with messages we've already heard in Daniel, but also with Peter's epistles. So before we get into it, let me say a word of prayer for us. Jesus, I thank you that your word is alive. It's living and active, and it is speaking. And we want to hear what you have to say. Help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see what you would show us. In your name, amen. Friends, have you been longing for the end of this current crisis, the end of our stay-at-home orders, the end of this seemingly endless season? Daniel can relate. He longed for the end of exile, the end of separation from his beloved family, his beloved city, his beloved temple. Remember where we started? Daniel was violently ripped away from his normal life and suddenly immersed in a foreign culture, language, and religion. Thus far, Daniel has demonstrated a lifetime of faithfulness to the Most High God, the one who lives forever. Even in our short season of abrupt change compared to Daniel's, it has exposed my own weaknesses. I need a steadfast spirit. Oh God, renew a steadfast spirit within me. Psalm 51, verse 10. So as we wade into the text of Daniel 12, remember where we've come from. Daniel is currently experiencing a vision that caused his companions to flee in fear. And Daniel himself responded with trembling and great weakness. The interpreting angel, who many commentators believe is Gabriel, touched him and renewed his strength, assuring him with God's peace and exhorted him to be courageous in Daniel 10:10 through 12, and verses 18 through 19. Then the angel explained a great war between the kingdoms of the north and south, focusing on the broken kingdoms of the Seleucids and the Ptolemies. The angel foretold to Daniel what is now history to us, the Syrian Wars, but pointed forward to the ultimate war between the Antichrist and King Jesus. This is all in Daniel 11. The last four verses of the angel's narrative in Daniel 12, 1 through 4, describe the end of all things, where God rescues his holy ones and the dead will be awakened to resurrection life. Thus far, the interpreting angel has been the narrator. Verse 5 transitions to Daniel as the narrator to conclude the vision with a conversation between the angel or angels and Daniel. Two other angels appear, one on each bank of the Tigris River. They serve as witnesses to the oath that is about to be spoken in verse 7. One of the angels, the text does not specify who, asks the man dressed in linen, "How long will it be until the end of these wonders?" which means unheard of blasphemies from 11:36, and that's the section discussing the Antichrist's activities, so 11 verses 36 through 45. Recall the explanation that Ashley gave about the man in linen. Some scholars believe this is the pre-incarnate Christ, and others believe it's a more exalted angel. Whomever he is given a superiority and displays supernatural power by hovering over the river, floating in midair. The angel asks him a question, not because the angel is lacking understanding, but for the benefit of those listening in, Daniel at first, and even us now. Daniel says in verse 7, "I heard," to describe what he was said instead of directly quoting the man in linen. He repeats the fact that he is above the waters of the river to emphasize his superiority and power. The man in linen raises both of his hands and makes an oath to him who lives forever. Other oaths are recorded in scripture, like Genesis 14:22 and Deuteronomy 32, verse 40, but the one recorded by John in Revelation corresponds most closely, which says, "The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever." Revelation 10, verses 5 through 6a. So it's a very similar encounter. The man in linen answers the angel's question about how long it will be by saying that it will be for a time, times, and time and a half, or half a time, which is the same as Daniel 7:25. And we interpret that as the time of tribulation, which is 3.5 years. The man in linen says that all of these events will be completed as soon as they finish shattering the power of the holy people. So before we discuss this, let's ask ourselves, in contrast, whose power is unwavering, unable to be shattered? The one who lives forever. So don't forget who's in control and sovereign over all that is being discussed here. When the man in linen says the holy people, most scholars believe he's talking about Israel and when Israel will be utterly defeated by her enemies in the tribulation. Jeremiah 30 verse 7 refers to this as Jacob's trouble, which is also referred to in Ezekiel 38 and 39 and Zechariah 12 verses 10 through 12. Some commentators like Stephen Miller cite these passages to explain how the tribulation is focused on Israel to turn them to Jesus Messiah. Specifically, Zechariah records, "They will look upon me, the one whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son." Verse 10. During his earthly ministry, Jesus said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Luke 13, verses 34 through 35. God is allowing Israel to be vanquished by her enemies because of her unfaithfulness. God longs to turn her back to her first love. In verse 8, Daniel tells us, "I heard, but I did not understand." Remember that phrase in Mandarin that taught me about the difference between hearing and listening? Ting budong. It literally means, "I hear, but I don't understand." So Daniel is saying ting budong. He asks, "My Lord," which is likely the interpreting angel from chapters 10 and 11, possibly Gabriel. "My Lord, what will be the outcome of these events?" The angel responds, "Go your way," which means keep living your life, because this message refers to future things beyond your lifetime. "Concealed and sealed up" means that the prophecy will be preserved for the end, cross-reference to verse 4. The time that the prophecy's fulfillment. What an honor for Daniel to know that he will play a major role in passing on God's word to future generations. So now we too can diligently study the scriptures and shine the light of truth in every generation. How can we apply this message of God's plan for all eternity as we go our own way? Are we taking opportunities in COVID-19 to present that have been presented to us to this end? The angel goes on to discuss two groups of people, those who have insight, many, and the wicked. About those who have insight, he says, "Many will be purged, purified, and refined." The Hebrew word for purged is not going to be said to you perfectly in Hebrew, but it's barar, which means to clarify, to brighten by polishing, examine, or select. Purified, laban, means to make clean or white through washing. Refined, saraf, means to melt, and it's how one tests gold through fire. At the end of the verse, it says that they have insight, which means comprehension, intelligence, and wisdom. Daniel 1:17 uses the same Hebrew word to talk about how God blessed Daniel and his three friends with intelligence or insight. So we know this is a gift from God. Those who have insight, wisdom, will understand, which means to perceive, know, or discern. This is a promise from God. Daniel 12, verse 13 says that those who have insight will shine and lead many to righteousness. The Hebrew word for righteousness is tzedek, refers to justice, vindication within a standard of right relationship. Although God's righteousness is not directly referred to in this section, which again is 12 verses 5 through 13, we can interpret all of these events, which are directed by God, as an extension of his righteousness. It explains why Daniel referred to God's righteousness four times in Daniel 9, verses 7, 14, and then 16 through 19. God's righteousness compels him to execute justice as well as mercy. Therefore, those who have insight are those in a right standing with God as he imparts wisdom and understanding through refining, purifying, and purging them so that others will be brought into a right standing with God. Daniel 11:35 says, "Some of those who were spiritually wise and have insight will fall as martyrs in order to refine, purge, and to make those among God's people pure," from the Amplified Bible. Using the same three Hebrew words in Daniel 12, verse 10. Malachi 3, verses 2 through 3 describes it this way: "But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. He will sit as a smelter and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness." Judgment begins with the household of God, just like we learned in 1 Peter 4:17. Through the tribulation, which is like a refiner's fire, God will reconcile his people to himself in a right relationship, righteousness, which will affect all of the church and the whole world. Do you remember how Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah's deliverance from the fiery furnace was symbolic of the furnace of exile? Exile itself is a furnace that God will deliver his people out of, and such will be the case for the tribulation as well. We have talked about fiery ordeals before. I'm reminded of 1 Peter 1, verse 7 and 4, 13. Peter describes how faith is refined and tested through fire, which results in glory when Jesus returns. And that fiery ordeals are how believers partake in Christ's sufferings, resulting in joy at his coming. So let's return to that second part of verse 10, where the wicked are described as those who act wickedly and none of them will understand. Through our discussion earlier on understanding, we know that that comes through a right standing with God. The angel saying that despite the signs of the times and tribulation and all the spiritual truth that God has revealed, the wicked will refuse to repent and even increase in wickedness. Remember that the tribulation is a time of great conflict and pervasive wickedness, such as never been seen before. Verse 11 tells us that specifically there will be 1,290 days, or a time times and time and a half, or 3.5 years of tribulation. The event that inaugurates this time is the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist's day, or an act of destruction or desecration in the temple that stops worship, which was discussed in 9:27. Jesus warned his disciples about this in Matthew 24, verse 15. "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which is spoken through the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the mountaintop must not go down to get the things out that are in his house. Whoever is in the field must not turn his back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will." At the time of tribulation, or at the end of tribulation, Jesus will return as the last and best king. But immediately after the tribulation, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Matthew 24, verses 29 and 30. After giving the figure of 1,290 days, the angel pronounces a blessing upon he who keeps waiting, which means to long for, endure with expectancy, like 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2, which says, "In this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven." Verse 12 says that is saying that blessed is the one who longs for and attains the 1,335 days. What could these extra 45 days mean? Scholars have many different opinions, but it's possible that after Jesus returns on the 1,290th day, it will take 45 more days until his inauguration as king. Then the 1,000-year or millennial reign of Christ will begin, which is not discussed in this text. Obviously, the angel is indicating that the 1,335th day is significant and special enough to attach a blessing upon those who wait and make it until then. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 13, "The one who endures to the end will be saved." That's why I entitled my lesson, "Enduring to the End." Saved here means rescued from injury or peril, delivered from penalties of messianic judgment, or saved from the evils which obstruct messianic deliverance. How do you think Daniel experienced waiting and arriving? What have you learned about waiting and arriving, and how can you apply them to your life? Do you consider both as a time of blessing? What if arriving is far out in the future? Daniel experienced that. The angel concludes by repeating, "Go your way," which forms an inclusio with verse 9. This repeated command makes the bookends of his advice to Daniel. Go your way to the end. Lifelong faithfulness to God, resistance to conformity of the world. Then you will enter into rest. Hebrews 4, verses 9 through 11 and Isaiah 57, verse 2 talk about a full, complete rest where the righteous enter into beds of peace. The resurrection of the dead is indicated again when the angel says, "You will rise again." Cross-reference to 12, verse 2. For your allotted portion at the end of the age. What is Daniel's allotted portion? Does that sound familiar with the concept of inheritance in 1 Peter? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. I hope you feel as I do that it's all coming together now. God's word is all connecting, and he's helping us understand his plans through our studies of Peter's epistles and Daniel. The inheritance described in 1 Peter 1, 4 comes out of after our faith is refined through trials, which is verse 6 and 7. My theological bridge for Daniel 12, verses 5 through 13 is God refines his holy people through tribulation. He promises resurrection life and rest to those who endure to the end. Even though Daniel's burdened with the knowledge of difficult times ahead for his people, the angel consoles him with ultimate hope, resurrection. Does your understanding of the resurrection bring you comfort in times of trouble? Why or why not? This is our ultimate hope too. For those of us who study John, some of these passages may be coming to mind as well. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus also said, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to eternal life and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." John 5:28-29. And for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. John 6:40. So how shall we now live? 2 Peter 3:10-14 says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. What sort of people ought you to be in holiness and godliness, hastening the coming day of God? But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heaven, new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Hallelujah. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. This is how we can interpret what go your way should look like for us. Eugene Peterson coined the phrase, a long obedience in the same direction. That's what I think of when I hear go your way to the end. Persevere, saints. This life is only a little while. 1 Peter 1:6. What is your perspective on a little while? How do you seek to orient your timetable to God's? Do you remember the earlier themes in Daniel? This chapter wraps up several of them together. One of them is, earthly kingdoms rise and fall, but Jesus' kingdom will last forever. Since his kingdom is coming and has already come, let us then live as citizens of his reign now. We keep hearing we need to be good citizens during COVID-19. Listen to the authorities, stay at home, wear a mask, etc. What are ways you and me are living as good citizens of Jesus' upside-down kingdom? Remember the Sermon on the Mount. How does Daniel's example change your thinking about faithfully enduring to the end? Let's bring his kingdom to bear in all areas of our lives and world. Sinclair Ferguson says, live for that kingdom now. Recognize his reign now. Be obedient now. Fulfill your present responsibilities now. What did Peter tell us in his first epistle? Proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Preach the good news, friends. Our hope springs eternal. Christ, our hope in life and death, from the Getty Musics. Jesus told his disciples, this kingdom, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Matthew 24:14. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, Messiah, thank you for coming again soon. We are in awe of your sovereign plans to inaugurate your kingdom here on earth. We look forward to that day with great anticipation. Make us ready through the one who lives forever. You've set eternity into our hearts, so give us grace to live with our minds set on things above where Christ is seated. Help us endure to the end and wait patiently in hope. Burn the good news of your kingdom in the forefront of our minds so that it easily flows from our lips to a world hungry for good news. Thank you for sending us a message of hope through Daniel. Oh, how we've loved getting to know him, but even more so the Elohim he served faithfully. His testimony spurs us on to mimic his lifetime of devotion to the Ancient of Days. Like Daniel, increase in us a longing for the kingdom of, King of Heaven, we pray in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.